It is hour number two. Thank you for being here 2 minutes after the hour. It is Friday. It is also, I'm proud to announce officially, Friday, January 15th, 2021. Pleased to have you join us on this Friday. John Bird is at the controls. Valerie Vining back in the newsroom, busily gathering headlines, as you just heard. Slim Rob over in the traffic center, making sure that your roadways are clean and clear during your route, or if they're not, alerting you to that situation. And then the aforementioned Jay St. Clair. Good morning, Jay.
Morning, Matt. Morning, John.
How's it going?
Man, I am doing great. It's a new year. I will be going to my new favorite place tomorrow morning to spend the weekend. And, John, you can probably figure out where that is. And I'm really excited because I'm going to have a brand new suspension underneath my track car. And so I'm curious to see how that goes.
I've made an executive decision as one of, I would like to presume, one of your closest friends.
Well, and director of competition.
And director of competition at the track.
Right.
And that is this.
Okay.
That as soon as you, I get it. It's your track car.
Right.
And I get it. But as soon as you start removing stuff from inside, like dashboard type stuff,
start calling it a race car.
I'm calling it a race car.
Yeah, I get. Well, it's funny you say that because I was over at the race shop. I now call it the race shop. I was over there and I was telling them about my 3-step plan to get below a 1:40. And then when I got to the third, which is horsepower, they said, "No, you need to lighten up. You need to lighten up." And I said, "You know, guys, I get it." Because you remember, we looked at the C8 race car on iRacing, trying to see, well, what's the difference between it and the street version. I thought it'd have 150 more horsepower. It only had, I think, about 50 more horsepower. It was 500 pounds lighter.
That's right.
So I got to get 500 pounds out of that car. I guess what I could do is I could put two John Birds in the back of it and then take them out, and then I'd be 500 pounds lighter.
How is this?
Bird, you're well on your way to...
It's Trash Bird Day.
I'm sorry, John.
I'm sorry.
You weren't the one that said I had to buy a dinner for everybody else. I should have said two Matt Murphys.
Yeah.
I was listening to y'all do all that, and I thought, well, I maybe need to get in on this, but then I thought, well, I don't know. This is going to be tough.
Cause, your percentages would be way...
Well, you know what? Yeah. I don't need to lose overall weight. I need to move it around. I need to move weight about 2 feet.
Right.
About 2 feet.
From belly to
from
shoulders
belly to
chest.
To pecs.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
I need to move about 25 pounds, about 18 inches.
I'm right there with you. That's cool. That's cool about the car.
Yeah.
And we saw on the track, several months ago, a Corvette much like yours.
All right.
That had been kind of stripped. And you and I remember, we were speculating, well, how much weight do we think that is?
Yeah.
I mean, is it 200 pounds?
Yeah.
I mean, how much is it? And, you know, it adds up. I mean, everything matters.
But you know, to do that, I mean, the real reason to do that is put a cage in it. And so when you put the cage in it, you don't lose that much weight.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's not a race car until it has a full row cage.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way I talk about it.
No, I get it.
We'll see. It'll be fun. And maybe have we got some other folks that are maybe thinking about coming out this weekend, people that I've
met. Well, you might have. St. Clair Racing is becoming bigger every day.
Yeah.
And so, we have created a new division. It's the food and service division.
Oh,
nice. Of St. Clair. Maybe, there's guys at the shop, guys at the track. Right. They're going to get hungry, going to get thirsty.
Yeah.
And so she might be out this week.
Oh, nice.
She might be
that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Director of Food Services of St. Clair Racing.
Because I guess St. Meyer now, she's a crew chief.
Yeah, she's crew chief.
Because you got promoted to director of competition.
Right, that's right.
When we went to multi-car.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got all, I mean, man, oh, man, we're expanding quick. Quick.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Hendrick's better. Look out.
We might take us a year or two. So I know that a lot of people are curious about your thoughts of what happened last week.
Mm-hmm.
And, from a legal perspective, what, what is rhetoric and what rises to the level of something that is. I mean, you could impeach a ham sandwich,
right?
Which is what's going on there. We'll talk about that.
Yeah,
I'm very curious your thoughts, and this kind of a curveball because we didn't talk about it yesterday or in our conversations, but I think you'll be on top of it when we get to it. I'm very curious your thoughts on the legality of trying a president, right, who is no longer, yep, a sitting president, yep, after he, uh-huh, has left office,
right,
which, I mean, functionally makes no sense. I mean, I know it's a punitive thing for them because they want to try to make sure, yeah, but
poke him in the eye and also keep him from running, you know, running again.
It has been speculated by me that there is a possibility that, and I think I'm wrong. By the way, I speculated it, and then I thought about it, and I thought functionally. I try to think like Jay St. Clair about some of these things. And I think, well, I don't think he would do this. I don't think John Roberts would do this as Chief Justice, because he is the presiding judge over the trial,
right,
of Donald Trump at that point in the Senate. And, you know, I'm wondering, is there a possibility that Chief Justice Roberts would say, there is no trial for a sitting president, and I'm not presiding over it?
No, I don't think he would do that. I agree with you. I don't see him doing that.
I don't see him doing that.
Right.
I guess my question is, could he do that? Or could another? Is there an avenue?
Here's the way I think that would come up, man. I don't think he would do it sui sponte.
Don't spit on this radio show.
I am going to, as a point of personal privilege, I want to just say thank you to Judge Minor. Who sent out, you hadn't seen it, you're not on Twitter anymore, but he gave a presentation, I think it was yesterday, about the history of the court system in Alabama and how important it is for just people to understand the legal system.
Mm-hmm.
And he's great at doing that. But he said this morning, I talked to a couple hundred people, but this morning Jay's going to talk to thousands. Judge Minor, thank you so much.
Judge Minor needs to call us sometime.
Yeah, well, you know, judges.
I mean, I understand. But I'm not going to, you know, we're not going to throw him any, you know. We're not going to try to peek under the robe. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yep. No, I mean, that's anyway. Right. But so I don't think, and I love Latin in law. That's what got me off on that. Judge Minor, you and I don't guess have talked about this, but I tell my law students, you know why there's so much Latin in law?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is to make it sound mysterious.
Oh, absolutely.
Make it sound complicated. Make it sound special so I can charge $500 an hour to tell somebody the answer to the question. So the judge wouldn't rule on his own.
There's a lot of pig Latin going on because there's a lot of suis.
Sui sponte means the judge does it on his own motion. I don't think he would do that, but what could happen is one of the senators could make a motion and move to dismiss it on the basis that he is no longer in office.
Could one of Trump's attorneys do that too?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, Trump could do it.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Trump could file a motion to dismiss.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I think the judge would have to rule on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I looked at some of this procedure the last time. I don't have it all memorized, but there is a process for motion practice, mm-hmm, is what we filing motions. And that would be where Donald Trump just moves to dismiss on the basis of lack of jurisdiction. I'm no longer the president. Right. Only the president can be impeached. I'm not the president.
Right, right.
But there is a precedent in history. Back in the late 1800s, there was an officer or a federal official, I can't remember who, wasn't a judge, was not the president, but this person was convicted in an impeachment trial after leaving office. So they have done it, but that doesn't mean it was correct.
Right.
No one could have challenged it.
Right.
They may not have challenged it.
So, yeah. So, I, you know, one would think that the basic argument is that to impeach is to charge me with high crimes and misdemeanors in order to move to a trial in the Senate.
Right.
And that trial in the Senate's purpose is to determine whether or not I am guilty of those charges.
To remove me from office.
And to remove me
from office.
Well, you can't remove me from office.
You're going to kill me once.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
We're going to give you a fair trial followed by first-class hanging.
Did my video come through yesterday? to you.
I don't think so.
I didn't think so because I thought you would have commented on it. I'll show it to you during the break. Okay. All right, TG, real quick, I promised I'd get to you before we got to a break, and we'll do that. We'll take your legal questions with Jay St. Clair momentarily. We'll talk about that in a moment. TG, thanks for your patience, friend. You know I love it.
Yeah, no problem. So my wife has the antibodies for COVID-19, and I do not. So, and we didn't bother doing any kind of social distancing. I mean, we sleep in the same bed, you know? So I didn't get it, but she had it. So part of me thinks that these numbers are maybe not what they seem to be. And I know that's just anecdotal evidence, but that's what I wanted to say about that.
Well, I will say that I will to respond. So did she know before she got her blood work back that she had antibodies?
So no. She was given blood to find out if she had the antibodies because she had symptoms. And she had plenty of positive tests and plenty of negative tests. And so she was like, the only way to find out is to get the blood work done, to find out for sure. So, yeah, she had it, and I did not.
Well, I'll say this. It is very random because, you know, I've not done, you know, by all accounts, I ought to have COVID because I've not done really anything significant to change my lifestyle outside of wearing a mask on occasion because I'm not going to die on that hill. Ani Lindenberg, former co-host of this radio show, went to Ohio, you might recall, TG, with her son. And her son, being a teenager like he is, completely forgot his toothbrush. And they shared a toothbrush on the road, and he was diagnosed with COVID the next day. And she didn't get COVID at that point. How about that? I mean, so...
That is odd.
Yeah, I mean, it is. So, I mean, it is so random. And now, you know, are the numbers inflated? Probably. Have they conflated, you know, someone who died of... other complications and just having to have COVID along the way with COVID. Yeah, I mean, sure. But, you know, is it serious? Yeah, it's serious too. So I get it.
Yeah, that was just some anecdotal evidence that I wanted to share.
Well, you should after meeting your lovely wife, you should just explain to her that, well, you know, some people are just, you know, have, you know, superior immune systems than others. And, oh, well. Would that play well in the Trucker Glenn household?
I mean, I don't know. I'm usually the one that gets sick before she does, so that's odd. But with this weight loss thing, man, how's it working? Because, I mean, I'm willing to get down on that.
Well, come on, just bring it in. All you have to do is declare your starting weight, and we'll just rely on your honesty, and you know, send it in to me.
All right, I mean, I'm on my way home right now. I'll weigh in and take a picture and send it to you.
Yeah, weigh in, photograph. That's good. Photographic evidence is good. Weigh in, photograph, and send it to me, and you're all in. And we'll figure out a listener component to this where, you know, maybe we get the listener something. Maybe Jay St. Clair can take everybody to dinner. I don't know. Thanks, TG, for the call. I mean, I'm happy to volunteer Jay St. Clair for
Yeah, I didn't take any time at all.
I'm like Joe Biden. I'm spending somebody else's money.
Absolutely.
15 after the hour, we'll continue talking with Jay about the law, plus legal questions coming up. If you got them, 545-9950, 545-9950. Sisk Tree Service, Marcus Sisk, great guys. And, you know, obviously a specialized task that they do. And so you might not need them in your life right now, or you might not think you do. But walk your property and look at the trees and recognize that before a tree goes, oftentimes branches go, and some of those are pretty big. And even if it's not a tree that you want to take down, but some of the branches in the tree that might be a danger to your property, a danger to your home, a danger to your roof, obviously you don't want to climb that tree and do that. You want Marcus and his team to do it. They are specialized in this task. Do this before they fall on your home, crack the driveway, crack the pavement, crack the house, or crack your head. You don't want any of those things happening. 746-4722. 746-4722. Sisk Tree Service. Talks about the good times they've had and all the good times to come. She's a good-hearted woman in love with a good time and man. She loves him in spite of his ways. She don't understand. Talk 99.5, 720. iTunes Roulette. Teardrops and laughter the past. Man, oh man, you have you have created an expression on Jay St. Clair's face that I don't see very often, John. More on that in a moment. Almost 50 degrees later on this afternoon. Sunshine today. Happy Friday to you. There is a big announcement coming about an announcement coming next Friday, and that's coming later on today. You get me? You follow? And that's a slight change from earlier in the week. Plus, we'll get into the Shelby County meeting that happened last night and regarding South Shelby County and the EMA or the emergency services there. Meeting in Wilsonville, and a number of you writing in wanting to call in on that. Later on today, we'll talk about lottery. We'll talk about not being ashamed of being suspicious. We'll talk about minimum wage. It's all to come on Talk 99.5. Hey, Jay.
Hey, man, I have a point of order. So were these songs selected randomly?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Here's why I had that facial expression is I can't understand why John didn't burn that one because it's just so obviously you. Mm-hmm. If y'all went in and handpicked him, then I would think maybe he went in and handpicked this on purpose just to confuse me. But I got to absolutely go with my instincts, and that says all Matt Murphy.
God, burn it. I thought I had.
I thought you were running a double reverse. You overthought it.
When I first heard the song, I thought, okay, he's got to expect that Jay will expect that it's me and that Jay will be so sure that he knew that he will go the other way.
Yep. Yes.
And John, you tried to out lawyer a lawyer.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And
how'd that work out for
and
you?
And let me tell you, I can
hey, John, where'd you get your law degree?
I could point you in the direction. Hey, Bert, I could point you in the direction of a couple of lawyers in town that you could out-lawyer. But St. Clair's not one of them.
And that's a little inside.
I think Jay knows the one that I'm talking about. Okay, so we were just kind of diving into this, and this concept of trying Donald Trump after. Now, it's all political, right? It's political theater. But
that's right. And you know, I was about to say it's a political event. It's one of these sort of quasi-legal, quasi-political events. I mean, there's some law, and it's not like just passing a bill. It's because, you know, it's in the Constitution, and so there are some procedures. Not a lot, but it is 98% political, Matt, and 2% legal.
Right.
That's right.
I mean, and the legal, the ramifications after the fact are only that Donald Trump can't run again.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or I guess couldn't win. I guess he can run.
Right.
But he couldn't. He can't serve. He can't serve. Which would be really funny if he got elected.
Actually, I guess he could win. He could run and win.
Uh huh.
He just can't. He can't serve in
office. Which would be funny. In a chaos world, that would be the best result. And, you know, so this is, we'll see how it plays out. But if I were a senator, I mean, what I would say is, well, the only reason you're doing this is to prevent a majority or prevent the country from reelecting this person president. Well, that's not our choice. That should be the choice of the electorate.
That's right.
We should not take that option away from voters.
Well, I mean,
let them decide.
Do you see any reasonable person listening to what Donald Trump said at the rally? And maybe this is a question for after, you know, maybe we can answer this question in a few minutes. Maybe some callers might have some thoughts on it. You listen to what the man said during the rally,
right,
and you see what happened. And obviously, everyone condemns what happened at the U.S. Capitol.
Sure.
Any reasonable
person.
It was awful. It was horrible. It was anti-American.
Yes, that's well said.
But they're putting two and two together. Well, actually, you know what they're doing? They're throwing every ball they can at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah,
and
well, they've been doing that since the day you got elected.
4 years. 4 years. Jay St. Clair with us for at least another 30 minutes. Give us a call, 545-9950, 545-9950. Hang in. A little iTunes roulette real quick, and your call's coming up. The number, 205-545-9950. That's 545-9950. The Birmingham Broker phone lines are up and available. We have a an announcement that was planned for this Friday that will eventually be next Friday, but I'll announce what the announcement will be today. And I'm not trying to tease you. It's just we live in a weird time. We live in a time of COVID. We live in a time of remote conversation via Zoom meeting and whatnot. I'll explain all of that a little bit later on. I'll also talk to you about how $15 minimum wage is at best a wash, and in reality is bad for small business. That's coming up too. Plus, we have a very special guest on the Talk 99.5 Birmingham Broker Hotline. We'll talk about that momentarily. But first, Jay, some business to attend to.
Well, it's one of these 23% of the songs that I can tell you everything about. Although when I first heard it, I thought that's not the George Harrison singing. You know, maybe somebody's redone it, but the more I listen to it, no, I believe that is the original George Harrison song. And, you know, that could be a both. I'd be disappointed if y'all both did not have that album.
Abbey Road.
The last studio album.
They did Let It Be came out.
Got released later.
Because the last
Wall of Sound guy took him 3 years to.
Right, but they had recorded. Right, I mean, right, no, you're right on it. Yeah, they had recorded that first. They recorded
Phil
Abbey Road.
Phil Spector, I think, was the one that came in and mastered all
right,
that.
Sure.
You know, so. That's a toughie. I'm just going with my. It's probably Matt. I'm going Matt.
Get burned.
See, he tried to do the same thing twice.
Run a double reverse again.
I'm not doing the random. I'm waiting until next week.
That's good. Hey, it's a. It is, and I don't mean this as a play on words. It is an honor. to hit line five here and speak to this next guest who has been so gracious to, well, one, listen to the show, and two, interact via social media, and now to call in. Judge Minor, Your Honor, it's an honor. How are you, sir?
Good morning to you and Jay and your listeners.
Well, for those who don't know, Judge Minor is one of the five judges on the Court of Criminal Appeals. And we just appreciate you being willing to call in this morning and share some thoughts with us about the court system in Alabama and where we're going in 2021.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you and Jay for letting me be on this morning. It's really due to the listeners of your show and the citizens of Alabama who put me on this court with their vote. And 2 years ago today, I actually walked into Heflin Torbert, the judicial building in Montgomery, as a member of the judiciary. I'd spent 25 years as a member of the executive branch.
Well, you're a district attorney, weren't you? Your Honor, weren't you a district attorney? Right.
I was, Jay. I was district attorney in St. Clair County for about 14 and a half years. Prior to that, I'd been an assistant DA and an assistant attorney general under Jeff Sessions and Bill Pryor.
You recently took to social media, Your Honor, to talk about the Court of Criminal Appeals and its importance and its history in the state of Alabama. And oftentimes on my show, whether, you know, Jay tries to keep me on the straight and narrow when he's here. But, you know, oftentimes when we're talking about the court systems, we're doing so out of frustration. And it's generally, a negative tone. I hate that, but it is the case. It's true. But the case is that, I mean, it's such a vital part of everyday life in Alabama. I mean, most of us don't like to think of the criminal court, because if we think of the criminal court, that means either we're accused of doing something wrong or somebody's done something to us. But it's so important. Speak to that for a minute.
I will. It is. It's the one court, I think, where no one wants to be. They weren't invited. They didn't choose to be there.
Right.
But I think the fact that you say that we usually talk about it in a negative way, most of the blame I put on, now that I'm a member of the judiciary, on the judiciary. In our country as a whole, for some reason, we've labeled the legislative branch and the executive branch on one side, and the judicial branch on the other, with all these rigid rules. And it's almost like there's a shroud that covers the judiciary. And I think that's one of the benefits of social media is that judges, if they so choose, can kind of unveil that shroud and allow the people to kind of see what we do as a judiciary.
Well, I hate we lost Judge Willett. Judge Willett was maybe the Twitter laureate of the judiciary, Your Honor. And then when he got on the Fifth Circuit, I guess he pulled back a little bit.
He absolutely was. He was the Twitter laureate of Texas. My good friend Stephen Dillard is known and actually has the proclamation as the Twitter laureate of Georgia. He's on the Court of Appeals of Georgia. But I think the more that judges go on social media or call in radio stations and kind of pull that veil back, we take the mystery away. And so that's part of what I actually had. I did yesterday. I spoke to 40 or 50 mainly lawyers about the history of our appellate courts. We were formed in 1820. Most people don't know that. And there were five Supreme Court justices that were actually circuit judges that rode the circuit, and then they met as a Supreme Court. The irony is those five circuit judges who made up the Supreme Court were elected by the General Assembly of Alabama. And so until about 1835, 1840 in that area, the legislature actually elected our judges and our Supreme Court. Apparently they had not heard or cared about the separation of powers, and I don't believe we would be able to do that today.
Your Honor, I've long argued, and maybe I'm wrong, but you know, it happens on occasion, but I've long argued that I don't quite understand the election of judges for this reason. And one of the reasons that on our radio show, I hesitate to have judges running for positions on the show is because they can't say anything. And I understand why. I get it. I understand that they can't compromise themselves based on the potential for a future case that they might hear. We see this most prominently with United States Supreme Court justices because we see those hearings go on and we see them repeatedly saying, well, you know, I can't answer that because it might come before the court. I've long argued that perhaps we should appoint judges in the same fashion that they do on the federal level. Do you have any thought, or can't, I mean, I don't know, maybe this is encroaching upon that very thing that we're talking about, but what are your thoughts on that?
I think you can see benefits and negatives of both sides. I think it's always good for the people to have a voice in all three branches of government. And so to take that vote away would be contrary to that concept. However, there are states that both appoint judges, that appointment made by the governor of the state. So now you've taken the vote of the general population and you place that vote into one person.
Right.
So that would be a negative. Or as Florida does, they are appointed, and then those judges run for retention. So you don't actually run against an opponent. You run against yourself. Mm-hmm. And so the people have a vote to say, yes, keep that judge.
I kinda like
or
that.
No, get rid of that judge. And if they vote to get rid of that judge, the governor appoints another judge. And in the next election cycle, the people have the opportunity to keep or reject that judge.
Judge, is that known as the modified Missouri plan, or am I thinking of something different?
I don't know the actual name, but there are several states that have that retention policy for judges.
I like that.
I know.
That makes a lot. That's kind of a blend of the two. Mm-hmm.
I think we ought to do that for radio talk show hosts.
Hey, easy now. Easy. Well, I hope I got your vote, Judge. If that's okay.
Absolutely.
Well, obviously it is our honor to speak with you, and I know it's important to you to educate the people of Alabama about the importance of the system generally and what you do more specifically. So it's just so good to have you on A Learned Voice. I mean, that's why Jay St. Clair once a week, Judge, makes me seem smarter by proxy, and so you just elevate that to a new level.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that. As Jay and I have talked before, I think the most important thing he does is tell people about the rule of law, bring civics, because I think we've lost that in our society. As I said yesterday, part of my presentation, more people can name two of the seven dwarfs most people can name all seven, but at least two, then they can name two Supreme Court justices that decide the major issues of our society.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not right.
I know which one of them's dopey.
Absolutely.
I think that might have changed for me recently.
But those are concepts that I think that we need to reinforce with the citizens of our state. And I like the fact that you and Jay and your show throughout the week, but especially on Fridays, have the opportunity to educate people to the extent that they learn a little bit more about the legal system.
Now, you tell me, Your Honor, if I ask any question that, you know, you feel like, hey, you know, that's probably something I shouldn't have a thought on or a comment on publicly. But it occurs to me that I have one of the five sitting justices on the Court of Criminal Appeals on my radio show, and it's incumbent upon me to ask you a question very much in the news today, considering the inauguration of Joe Biden is right around the corner, and that the Democrats have made fairly plain to me that they very possibly could endeavor to, quote-unquote, pack the court, meaning expand the Supreme Court from nine justices to more than nine, whatever that figure might be. I know you perhaps have thought about this, but any public thoughts on the efficacy of that or the dangers of it?
Well, I think legally, in looking at it without doing any real research, they probably have the authority to do that. Now, I don't think that would be a good idea. I think you find yourself in a trap of, we pack the court, and so the next time that, for example, say the Republican Party, they pack the court, and then we're looking at a court of 25 or 35 justices, which would just be so unruly that I think nothing would get accomplished.
All right, that's well said.
At times in Alabama, I don't use the term pack the courts, but we started off with three justices on the Supreme Court. That was later moved to five justices, then seven justices, and then finally in 1969, Governor Brewer and the legislature added an additional two associate justices and a chief justice, which made the total of nine. And we've been at nine on our Alabama Supreme Court since 1969, and it seems to work well, and I don't see any reason that we need to add any further justices either nationally or here at the state level.
Well, Your Honor, I know that you got a lot on your docket, literally and figuratively, but I have to add something to you. You know, we if I'm in, Jay and I were talking about this during the break, and I don't want to take credit for it. It was actually Jay's idea. And Jay, would you like to, I don't want to steal your thunder, would you like to tell Your Honor about the idea that you have?
No, he does have a lot going on, Your Honor, but hopefully you can make room for one more item. I don't know if you were listening earlier, but they're about to have a weight loss contest here on this radio station in the morning. And with these personalities involved, there needs to be some oversight, Your Honor. The truth matters, it needs to be a judge, and that calls balls and strikes and keeps them in line. And so we would just like for you to be the judge of the Matt Murphy Morning Men and Valerie.
Murphy Morning Men and Valerie.
Weight loss contest.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. I'd be happy to.
All right.
Since it's not an office of profit.
Oh, trust me, Your Honor. Your Honor, I've been doing this 10 years. You will not have to file any financial disclosure statements.
Judge, I plan to pay you. I tell you what, I'm going to pay you double what we pay Jay St. Clair to come on Friday.
Wow. Okay. I may have to file that financial statement.
No, you are.
Double or nothing.
Uh-huh. It's still nothing.
Well, it's a privilege to talk to you, and I so appreciate some of your time today, and hopefully we can do it again, Judge.
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
All right. Thank you, Your Honor. Really appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Y'all have a blessed day.
You too.
Take care.
Take care. There's Judge Minor. That's pretty cool.
We are lucky. You know, I don't like politicians, man. You know that. And but we are lucky. We've got some good ones in Alabama. We really do. And there's one of them. And I, you say, judge, you're not a politician. Well, they have to run for office. Let's say public servants.
Mm-hmm.
And we are blessed to have public servants like Judge Meyer.
I love this idea of retention, which I hesitate to say it, but I'd never heard of it. I mean, right. And
because that way it avoids judges running in political parties. I mean, that's the part of it that I just find.
And here's the frustrating thing. When I started my career, and especially when I came to Birmingham in 2002, a lot of lawyers or people in the legal field come from Birmingham and run for either local or state. Judgeship, I guess, mm-hmm. is the way to say it. And even, Supreme Court justices who were running would call up and say, hey, we'd like to be on your show. And, wow, this could be a sitting Alabama Supreme Court justice. I should honor that request. But I just found that it was an exercise in frustration, right. And through no fault of their own, right. Which was the most frustrating part. I mean, if they just weren't answering questions because they didn't want to, I go after them and, there we go. But, you can't answer questions about position. All that I have to go on is, good name and character. I mean, and that's something, sure, but,
it's hard to distinguish candidates on that basis.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just it's an exercise in frustration, and I believe the voters feel the same way. Mm-hmm. And what they end up doing, they end up thinking to themselves, okay, this guy's running as a Republican.
That guy's
running as a Democrat.
Right.
I most often vote as a Republican, right. Or I most often vote Democrat, and so they just go that way.
Or they just don't vote.
I mean,
if you look at general elections when you've got lots of people and mm-hmm. the judges are down ballot, there aren't as many votes cast in those races.
All right, I vote. We take a short time out and get to calls momentarily. Aunt Myra, you'll be first, 545-9950 as we continue. It is Matt Murphy, Talk 99.5. Back in a moment. In the new year, wants to be your source for all things sparkly and all things diamonds. And I'm telling you guys, they've got the diamond for you and the price point for you. If the loved one in your life, if you did not do this over the holidays, the symbol of love that endures year after year is the diamond, the engagement, the anniversary celebration, the birthday, or the just because. It is Diamonds Direct, of course. Diamonds Direct is the diamond powerhouse. They've changed the way we buy diamonds in this community. Whether you're looking for a 1-carat or a 20-carat, I mean, they've got it at Diamonds Direct. It is not an ordinary jewelry store in the sense that they've got a better selection. You don't have to look at a computer. You look at the actual diamond itself, and they'll walk you through the process. So, Valentine's Day is a month away, gentlemen. A month away, less than. Time to get that diamond from Diamonds Direct. Great financing options, always available, no pressure environment. Let Diamonds Direct be your destination for 2021. Diamonds Direct, Mountain Brook, in Cahaba Village, for store hours, for details, for directions, for the offers of a lifetime. DiamondsDirect.com. That's DiamondsDirect.com. Tell them I sent you to Diamonds Direct.
There is a lot of thought process involved in this, Matt, and I have to go with my best guess. And my best guess is that John Byrd, my good friend John Byrd, doesn't know of the history of this song between you and me. John, I'm betting you're sitting over there thinking Jay will have no idea who or what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Because 6 months ago, that would have been true.
And I bet you we could play...
You can play
a bunch of other songs from these artists.
100 songs from Kurt Cobain and whatever that band was, and I wouldn't have a clue.
But this one.
This is Kurt Cobain, unplugged, doing this old, old folk song that Matt Murphy and I spent 2 hours talking about on the golf course one time. Because it was written in the 30s, and then there's a split, and there's a country side of it, there's a folk side.
I think Lead Belly was first, right?
Yeah, Lead Belly.
Lead Belly.
And so based on all of that, I'm just thinking you had no idea of any of that. I'm going Matt Murphy.
I knew the entire arc of what Jay said as soon as I heard the first bit of the song. Yeah. I thought John
has no idea.
He will not think that Jay and his instinct was correct.
Yep, absolutely.
Every other Nirvana song.
I couldn't tell you the name of the band.
Every other Nirvana song, John, you would have been dead on. He wouldn't have known. It would have been a random guess. But this one. Man, oh man! It was in the cards, John. It was in the cards.
It's a skunk.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
You know what?
What?
Joe Biden didn't really win either. All right, I'm Aunt Myra. I'm going to convince Jay, unless he has to go to court somewhere, to stay and take your call. And if you've got a legal question, Jay says he'll answer every legal question before he leaves. 545-9950. Right now, it's Valerie Vining's turn in the newsroom.